And so we're going to take a minute. By the love of God, not deals, not money, not who you know, not prestige, not being liked, not knowing the right people. You are sustained by the love that your Creator has for you. I know it looks like it's coming through that other stuff. But that's just the easiest way for us to accept it right now. Your source is what's taking care of you and me.
It's called the Holy Spirit's plan of forgiveness, or another way of putting it would be the right-minded plan of correct perception. Because of course, the plan of forgiveness is correct perception, and the Holy Spirit is our loving right mind. So, as I go through the course, I'll be giving you some of the definitions that the course uses for these terms to make it easier. Because sometimes what it's saying is more important than the form that it's written in. So I like to try to get past a lot of the resistance to the words by sharing the definition. Another word for atonement is forgiveness and the undoing of error. So the course says atonement and forgiveness means the same thing. So wherever you see atonement, you could also say forgiveness. And forgiveness is correct perception or the undoing of fear, which is what atonement is. It says atonement, which is the correction of error, is for all, because it's the way to undo the false belief that anything is for you alone. That's interesting. It's the way to undo the false belief that anything is for you alone. To forgive is to overlook. So another term for forgiveness is to overlook. So the Holy Spirit's plan of overlooking would be another way of putting it. Look then beyond error. That means don't let your perception rest on the error. In most cases with the Course, it's just a series of synonymous sentences. In other words, whenever you see a conjunction like and, or a lot of times when you see a comma, all it's going to do is restate this what it said before, but just in another way. For instance, look then beyond the error. What does that mean? It means don't let your perception rest on it. See, it says, look then beyond the error and do not let your perception rest upon the error. That's the same as saying, look beyond the error. What does that mean? Do not let your perception rest on the error. For you will believe what your perception holds. Accept as true only what your brother is. If you would know yourself, accept as true only what your brother is. If you would know yourself, perceive what the person isn't. And you can't know what you are, because you are seeing them falsely. Remember always that your identity is shared, and that its sharing is its reality. So that first paragraph, to me, gave us some good key stuff. First of all, I got to get the correct perception is for everybody. I can't leave anybody out of my correct perception, even though there are some people I just love to leave out of my correct perception. Then it says to forgive means to overlook. So to forgive doesn't mean I'm overlooking what I think you did to me because I'm more spiritual than you. Forgive means I'm overlooking. It means that I'm not going to focus on your mistake. I'm going to learn how to let my interpretation of my perception go beyond what I perceive as your mistake. Because if I focus on your mistake, that's what I'm going to believe in. That's very simple. If I focus on your mistake, then that's what I'm going to focus on, so that's what I'm going to believe in. And he says, I have to accept as true only what you are if I want to know myself. If you and I have a shared identity and you and I are joined, then the way I see you is the way I see myself. So I have to see you the way I want to see myself. So that sentence is saying, accept as true only what the person is if you want to know yourself. And what the person is a child of God. The person is love, but they can have thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs that are insane, crazy, and just generally not the truth, which we all have. All of us do. All of us are these loving, incredible spiritual beings with some really, really call for God thoughts, as the Course would call it. And so it says next, perceive what you aren't, and I can't know who I am. So if I see you as being a body, and I see you as being separate, and I see you as being guilty, and I see you as being weak, and I see you as being powerless, then how am I going to see myself as being that powerful being? If I don't see you right, I'm not seeing me right. Now notice that as I'm going through this, are you noticing that every sentence is saying the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's just approaching it many different ways. Why?
So you'll hear one of them.
Thank you. Maybe I was one of them. If I said the same thing about 9,000 different ways, maybe just one of them. Just one of them you might get. So don't worry about it. Okay. Then it says, remember. It didn't say figure out. Right? It says, remember always what? That your identity is shared, and that means that in its sharing is its reality. So if I am love, and I am lovable, and I'm spirit, and I'm a child of God, then that's your identity too, and I have to share that identity for it to be real to me. So who can tell me what looked like the main point that was being made by spirit to us in that paragraph? There are no wrong answers, so don't be afraid.
What you see is who you are.
Thank you. Basically, what you see is who you are, and if you really don't know who you are, then you have to change what you focus on and everything and everybody around you. Anybody else? Any thoughts about that paragraph?
What you focus on increases.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever I focus on, that's what increases in my experience, because whatever I focus on, I'm just going to see more and more of it. Okay. The trick is to think we're separate, the trick is to think we're guilty, the trick is to think we're bodies, the trick is to think we're our egos, which is another word for error. The Course says the ego and error are synonymous. So when it says don't let you say look beyond the error, it's the same as saying look beyond the ego. So if the ego seems abstract to you, then just substitute the word error. My ego made me do it. My error made me do it. My erroneous perception made me do it. My erroneous interpretation made me do it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say my ego, you're saying my... What is the error? The error is my perception of myself. The error is believing that I'm separate. It's believing that I'm guilty. It's believing I'm not loved. It's believing I'm not... You're joined with each and every one of you to believe that I'm a victim. That's the error. To believe I'm separate from source. So the ego is the part of us that thinks. That's what's so fascinating. Politics fascinate me because it's such a perfect way of watching the ego in action to me. So I love to watch all the political shows right now, cause especially with this particular presidential race, because it's such an unusual one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best example that I've ever seen of separation. You know, and it's the way the separation plays out in all of us. It's the way it's being played out. But the truth is, there's not anybody that's going to be elected that's going to create your reality.
Exactly.
There's not anybody that's going to be corrected that's going to make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
There's not anybody that's going to be elected that's going to bring you peace.
Mm-hmm.
There's not anybody that's going to be elected that's going to bring you prosperity. Don't work like that, because the trick is to believe that our happiness is in something outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do things in the physical world that's symbolic of your desire. The Course says ultimately you can do things that are symbolic of your willingness to be healed. So am I advising people not to vote or to vote or whatever? No, I'm not even dealing at that level. That's the fake level. That's up to you. You do it however you want to do it. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just telling you the truth, which is whoever you choose, they're not going to make you happy. And you can just extend that to everything. I've lived long enough to see quite a few presidents, and I haven't seen a big difference in anything about my personal life as a result of any of them. The only thing that's been different is the changes I've made within my own consciousness and my own perception and my own connection to God. And then I'll choose based on which part of myself, by the way, you know, that I'm identifying with the most right now, because you know, McCain is as much a part of me as Obama is a part of me, as you are a part of me, as the Grand Kriegel of the Ku Klux Klan is a part of me. They're all aspects of my one shared identity. And so all of them are calls for God. It's all a call for God. So that's when it's, so when it's talking to me about not focusing on the error, that means don't focus on the idea of being separate. Focus on the idea that you're joined. And never lose sight of the idea that you're joined and that you're connected. It's not as deep as we think it is. Okay? I know we want to make it more complex than that. What do you mean? Don't focus on the error. What about if they da 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 da? Well, the da 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 is the error. And what you're doing is focusing on it and explaining it to me and running it down to me. What is the error? The error is I'm focusing on it because it's my justification for separation. I want to be separate, so I'm going to point out all the reasons why we're separate. Does it make sense? So we all got justifications for separation if we want to have them. And so, but still doesn't change the fact that the way you feel is being created by you. I'm sorry. There's not nothing you're going to say that's going to make me change that position. I don't care what it is. You're the one that's determining how you feel about it, no matter what it is. Yeah. Get your hand up.
That part is so not complicated, but confusing times. When you're wanting to create joining and you're wanting to not have it, but you don't see that person separate, although you still are reflecting the pain that you think is being projected onto, you know, whatever's going on in them, and then you have to remind yourself, don't take it personally. Although this character assassination is really hurtful, although I don't want to create separation because I know it's not about me, and I know it's a call for love for you, and you're just maybe having a bad day or whatever. And so you have to just to not have separation, and yet there's still separation because you still have the pain and discomfort of not feeling whatever you're feeling at that moment.
Right, right. The recognizing the truth doesn't necessarily mean you're going to feel good.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I want to point that out. Okay. In the beginning. That's why it's so important in the beginning to recognize that it's a call for love. And that's, to me, that's why it's so important in the beginning when I feel my temptation to attack or I feel whatever feelings that I feel, to tell myself it's my call for love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that my anger, my depression, my upset, my feeling like I'm the victim in the situation is still my call for love. So if I am seeing it as a call for love, then I'm still not focusing on the error. I'm actually focusing on the correction, which is to see it as a call for love. And then from that perception, you let that perception dictate your physical action. And that may change from situation to situation to person to person. That's why I don't prescribe behavior. Because there is no one behavior that's the right behavior in every situation. But there is an attitude that's the right attitude in every situation. So the behavior level is not the level of healing. The level of healing is at the level of the mind. So every time you remind, the mere fact that you, Kobe, can even remind yourself, even while you're upset and you feel like you're going through some type of attack, that's by you calling it a call for love or recognizing that somehow or another you create your perception of it, even if you can't change the way you feel, you are getting rid of the thought system that produced the thing that is upsetting you in the first place. So in the beginning, it's great to be honest about how you feel. So don't pretend you feel good when you don't. Don't pretend you like it when you don't like it. Just tell the truth about it. I'm angry. That's my call for love. I'm depressed. That's my call for love. I feel attacked. That's my call for love. I don't want to be around them anymore. That's my call for love. See, that's what you do. Whatever is going on, you call it your call for love. You call it your call for God so that you won't go deeper into guilt and fear. And if you do feel separate from a person, it's just a feeling of separation that has nothing to do with the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is you still join whether you like me or not.
Yeah.
Okay? And so even though we're doing this sincerely, don't feel like you really can affect reality. You know, the reality is we all join whether we enjoy each other's company or not. The good thing about being separate is as long as we don't, we can get away from each other. That's what I love about separation. As long as I don't love you, I can get away from you. That's what I like about separation. Until I get to the point that I love you, I got a body that can take my consciousness away from you long enough to change my perception as much as possible. So actually being separate while we don't love each other is a blessing. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In other words, if I haven't gotten in touch with my power as a child of God enough to never have pain, okay, because I'm deceiving myself and I have some guilt and some fear and it's manifesting as pain, I'm glad all of you all don't feel my pain because we go through the illusion that we're separate. You see what I'm saying? So really, there's no real joining that's really going to happen until we're in love, because at that point there is no pain. You see what I'm saying? So it's really a process. So actually, the separation can be a beautiful thing in the process of healing. It's just that now I want to use my separation to heal, where I used to want to use my separation to attack or to be special or to be different or to be in competition. So everything that we've made, including our bodies, including the physical environment, everything that we're doing can be used to take us to love. Everything in your life can be used to take you to love. So you don't have to be anti anything that you've made in your life. There's not one single thing that you do that can be used to take you back to an awareness of God. Nothing. Your hobbies, your pleasures, your anything, your fantasies, your ambitions. So don't get into the perception like I've seen many times over the years, like I'm spirit, so now I'm anti-body, anti-world, anti-everything in the physical. Because then you're just creating some more separation. Okay? But in the beginning, you're going to go crazy. So make it okay to go crazy in the beginning. It'll make the whole thing easier for you, okay? In the beginning, you're going to go insane. We're trying to figure it out. Your ego making you want what doesn't want you, or frustrating you. You know, like that's the normal thing that happens in the beginning when a person's trying to move toward union and oneness and love. And so take my word for it. I've shared with a lot of people the last 28 years, and there's nothing I can do and nothing I can say that's going to stop you from going crazy at first. Okay, you're just going to go crazy. You're going to get mad. You're going to get frustrated, the whole nine yards, because your old self is going to be fighting the new perception, because you had a world built on the old perception. So the old perception seems like it's the real one. Going to be face reality. And then it looks like what we're talking about here is the fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's because you're trying to come from the old system to the new system. But the old system has been built. It has been manifested. So much of what the Course talks about in the beginning seems like fairy tale stuff, because you haven't invested in this perception long enough to see it manifest, just like you've invested in the other perception that now you see manifest. And so the people who represent your deepest beliefs are the ones that you're in relationship with now. So the Course is presenting you with an ideal self in a sense, but your real beliefs are what you're meeting in your everyday reality. So if you compare what you have made to where you want to go, that's an ego trick that will delay you. You got to let go of the comparing, because where you are now is a result of the decisions that you've made from the old thought system. Where you want to be is where you're going to be from the new thought, but the new thought system isn't as solid in you as the old thought system. So just because I say that you're lovable and you're peaceful and you deserve to have happiness and right relationship, what I'm doing is introducing an idea that needs to be exercised and shared, because ideas manifest from being shared. So every time we get together, we are strengthening these ideas by sharing them. And just like the ideas that have made you unhappy, which are being shared, by the way, by a lot of people, right? So you see why the world is the way it is. Most people believe in it, right? So here we are. We're trying to give birth to this other new love and thought. And so we have to really, when we're in here, really, really radically go for the new ideas rather than try to defend the old ideas. Don't use this hour to defend the old ideas, because if you do that, you're just doing what you're going to do after the hour is over. So that's wasting the hour, actually. Right? We should be using the hour to do what? Remember that the way I got to undo the belief that anything is just for me, to understand, to forgive, is to overlook, realize that what I see in you is what I see in me. I need to use this hour to remind myself that if I don't see you correctly, I won't see me correctly. I need to use this hour to remind myself that my identity is shared with you. That's what I need to use this hour for. Does it look like it? Not all the time. I was in the restaurant the other day and had the temptation to attack. You know, let me cut that air off. My throat is like a call for God. If a person is upsetting you, you believe what they say. So when you talk about how somebody's doing something to you and you're upset about it, you would not be upset about it if you didn't believe it was true. So when people upset you, they're getting you in touch with what you believe about yourself. If you didn't believe it, they couldn't upset you. A person could come in here and they could call me a giraffe all night long and I wouldn't get upset. Because I don't think I'm a giraffe. See what I'm saying? So if someone says something that you consider to be unloving and it bugs you, then some part of you is given that power. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it is. Or you just will look at them as if they were just a call for love. And so I've learned through the course that when I was dealing with a real interesting, it was funny. I called in an order at a restaurant, and they told me it'd be about 20 minutes. I went to the restaurant. It was just about 20 minutes. It took me about 20 minutes to get there. The lady came up. And she told me that she had just started the cooking because she had to thaw it out. So I had to like wait, you know, so she said we got 20 more minutes. And I wasn't really dealing with it more than just thinking about whether or not I really wanted to wait. So I was looking at the menu standing up there. And she was saying, well, you just chill out. Just go chill out. It's going to be here in a minute. You just have to just chill out. Just go over there. She was treating me like I was mad at her and like I was saying something to her. It was so interesting. She felt guilty. Right. So even though I was just standing up there looking at the menu, she was completely going off. You just have to chill out right now and, you know, and just go over there and sit down. Just sit down. Don't be so patient. You know, I'm like, I haven't said anything. So I'm just looking at the menu. And so I chose not to stay there. Yeah. I didn't choose to give her any paper strips or metal discs. As the course defines money as being. So then a part of me wanted me to feel guilty about the fact that I left. But so I was truly spiritual. I just would have overlooked that and sat up there for 20 minutes. But I didn't want to eat anything that I felt anger about, because that wouldn't have been good for my body. Mm-hmm. Wow. I also didn't want to teach her that it's okay to be rude to your customers and you benefit from that. Mm-hmm. So I chose not to go to the restaurant next door. But the main thing I noticed was that I was feeling that temptation to attack. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is when I'm feeling that temptation to come back at her the way she was coming at me, the course has taught me that whenever I feel that twinge, that I'm to breathe and be quiet. It took me a while to get that. I'm proud of myself. Because one of the reasons why I got in the course was because I had such a ferocious temper. And I was a tyrant. So it was interesting to watch how I react to things now compared to how I would have reacted to things at another time. But mainly I used my anger as a hint to shut the hell up. Where I used to use my anger as motivation to attack. Mm-hmm. So when you start to feel that temptation, that little and you're about to go off, breathe. Breathe and get away. If you can, breathe and get away. Because there's nothing you're going to say and do in anger that's not going to be an attack on yourself and also something you probably at some point are going to regret in some kind of way. Especially when you're seeing yourself as being on a spiritual path. Because if you see yourself as being on a spiritual path, your idealized self is going to try to make you feel guilty for going off. Because as a good spiritual student, you weren't supposed to hit the person. you know, so the part of you that's trying to be spiritual is going to be freaking out, you know. And also, I noticed that once you make a real commitment to peace, it looks like when you get into your ego, the reaction is even greater than ever before. And usually, you're going up against people who are pure ego. So you kind of learn how not to be ego. They're still pure ego, so you're probably going to lose. Because they attack it the way they live. So that's just like, this is like me playing chopsticks going up against Chopin or something, you know what I'm saying? Liberace. I mean, the average person in the world, they're defensive and they're afraid and they attack. So their attack skills are honed. You're trying to be a more loving, peaceful person, so I'm afraid you're not as good at it as you used to be. Think about it. Mm-hmm. You're just not as good at it as you used to be. If you're sincere on this path, you're just not as good at arguing and attacking people as you used to be. So you're probably going to come out in the losing end of a fight.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, but you'll find that if you can breathe and choose for peace, somehow or another, it ends up, everything turns out to your advantage. Just try it. And if you do focus in on the error, if you do forget your identity is shared, then that was your call for love. Forgive yourself. Don't try not to do it again. And I guarantee you get another opportunity to see. So don't worry about the next opportunity to do it better coming up. It will happen. Unfortunately, it won't be with the same person in most cases. It'll be someone brand new.
Girl, yes. If let's say the past is, I'm feeling like I'm surrounded by people that are more loving, that are more
mm-hmm.
spiritual. So maybe in 5 years, something's manifested that what I wanted and what I was choosing along,
it's
starting to manifest?
Yeah. You know, it's just like a farmer planting a seed and then a month or so later it breaks above ground. You know what I'm saying? You know, if the farmer planted the seed and every day dug it up to see if it was growing, he'd never eat, right? You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, you had a gestation period. Now things are beginning to come above ground, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're beginning to get the physical manifestation of those seed thoughts. And what we do is, for instance, if a farmer did not put the seed in the soil and water it and it had sunshine, the seed wouldn't grow. I don't care how healthy the seed is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have these seed ideas. We are the sunshine. We are the water. We are the earth. We are the environment that allows these new seed thoughts to grow. We are the environment that allows who we are to grow. And that's the beauty of us coming together. We are the water. We are the sunshine to the ideas that we are saying we want to believe. The idea by itself won't go anywhere unless it's shared and unless you make it your own. So it's a good thing to take these ideas and then mix your own thoughts about how you want to do it, because that's how you make it yours. Okay? And remember that your ego, your old self, has one rule: seek but do not find. Okay, so your ego is going to always try to send you in the direction of the person or situation that will not give you what you want. You can count on it. If you're in fear, if you're in separation, if you're in guilt, you will not be attracted to what will satisfy you. You're guaranteed not to be. So you could be loved by 30 people, but you're in love with the person that never wants to be with you. You can just count on it. The one you're going to have a hot spot is going to be the one that's about to stick the police on you if you come anywhere near. And that's the one, you know. So.
Yeah, I just thought it. I just
want to
share that.
Yeah.
We started, when things are going really well and all that, it was weird. I kind of ran into somebody that... Years and years ago, it just brought up all that, doesn't matter how nice I am, does not matter to how I'm received.
Well, think about it. If there are going to be some people who are worthy opponents, as they're called. A worthy opponent is someone who challenges you to practice everything you say you're about. And when you go a certain length of time on the spiritual path, you have to meet your worthy opponent so that you can really make what you say you're about real. And how could you really be in a position to keep your peace all the time and keep your center unless you saw yourself keep it around people that you ordinarily wouldn't be able to keep it around, and they don't perceive you correctly? Everybody could do this if everybody was sweetness and light to everybody all day long. Then everybody could do it. So you're going to have a lot of people that are going to see you in a loving way, and you get a chance to practice this with in a loving way. But you also have people who love you, who you have assigned the role of the villain. Because we all get together before we are born to decide who's going to play the roles that we play in each other's life. Some people love you so much they play the villain. And some people they play the good cop. You know, the person plays the good cop, bad cop. You know what I'm saying? So there's more to all of this than what it looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, your race isn't an accident. Your sex isn't an accident. The family you were born into isn't an accident. The social economic condition you was born. You know, I really was showing out, so I wanted to be born black in the South. You know, I went crazy at the soul incarnation choosing time. But once you understand that you set it up to win, that you set up every condition at a soul level in your life. This is your dream. You can have it any way you want to. You're not a victim. It's like deciding to get on the roller coaster. I've said that before, mm-hmm. right? You decide to get on the roller coaster, but the once you get on, it's a total commitment, right? Once it pulls off, you can't say, "Oh, wait a minute," right? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the roller coaster. You chose to get on it. Now you own it. Now it looks like you were just put on it, right? And either you can scream your head off while you're on the roller coaster, or you can do like some people and go. But the cool part is what? The person that's screaming arrives back at the origin just like the person who's having a good time.
Yeah.
So you can live your life horribly, be a victim, complain, never do what you really want to do, never let yourself have fun, never let love come into your life. You can create struggle, and you're still going to end up in the same place that everybody else does that had a good time and was nice. And it doesn't seem fair only to the person who is not having a good time. The person that's having a good time, he doesn't care whether you ride with or not because he's having a good time. I've never taken a trip in a jet. I always arrive at the same time as the people in first class. Mm-hmm. And say, coach people every in 2 hours. You know, like, no, everybody rides at the destination at the same time. The only thing was different was how we did the ride. The course is about how you do the ride. Okay, you've chosen to be a woman. It's going to be a cool woman ride, or it's going to be a woman ride that you see yourself as victimized by everything around you. I chose to be a man, chose to be an African-American body. Is that going to be a cool African-American ride? Or is it going to be one where I see myself as a victim of the man? You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if I want to be the victim, I'm powerful enough to draw people to me who will witness to me being a victim. Mm-hmm. And then I focus on the error, and then I miss the truth, just like what we're talking about right here. So there are some people that all they see is the victim. And I'm saying that I want to see you beyond that, and I want to remember you beyond that no matter what. But there will be times you're going to get mad, you're going to get upset, you're going to get frustrated. Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you move faster if you have tolerance for your ego. You get everywhere faster if you have tolerance for your ego. Not intolerance for your weakness, but tolerance for your weakness. How can you not succeed if only weakness stands in the way? Think about that. Because weakness has no power. Let me get you to pass that around for me so we can get everybody on there that hasn't had a chance to sign up. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Because guess what? We hear the same thing another way. Let's see what happens. You have a part to play in the plan. This course calls the atonement. But the plan of the atonement is beyond you. The plan is beyond you, but you got a part to play. You don't understand how to overlook errors. You don't understand how to overlook the ego. You don't understand how to overlook errors, or you wouldn't make them. It would merely be further error to believe either that you don't make errors or that you can correct errors without a guide. Two corrections. Let's get that straight. What would be, first I need to understand, I don't know how to do this. Would anybody be willing to admit they don't know how to do this? All right. Then it says the next thing would be to also stop believing that you don't make errors. If you recognize you made errors, then you would not get so upset about other people's errors. If you recognize you had an ego, you wouldn't get so upset about everybody else's ego. If you realize there were some aspects of you that is afraid and unloving and can be cruel and thoughtless and selfish in your thinking, then when you saw other people that way, they wouldn't upset you so much. They upset you because they are showing you what you do, but you're pretending you don't.
Say that again, please.
Okay, I know. Okay, I'll say it again. If I knew I was like you, I wouldn't get so upset about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I get upset about what you do, that's me pretending that I don't do it too. And the only thing that separates any of us is time. And I'll give you an example of that. My body is defended against the truth, because I got too close to the truth, and now my ego is trying to convince me that I'm a body. So you may not be feeling that today. So you might go, oh, really? Why did you do that? What are you thinking that'll make you do that? Okay. All right. Then next week, you got snot running out your nose. Right? And I'm feeling great. So we're exactly the same. The only thing that was different was time. Time was the only thing that separated. You feel good today, somebody else is mad and cussing somebody out. Next week you mad about something, they're peaceful. We are all just alike. The only thing that separates us is time. That's it. So that means that we are one. Because there's not nothing that anybody in here feels that none of us have, all of us have felt at some time. There's not a person in here that hasn't done a selfish thing. There's not a person in here that hasn't looked out for themselves before anybody else. There's not a person in here that hasn't felt depression or fear or anger or joy or bliss or passion or fun. We all feel the same things. We just do it at different times. And then we judge each other when we're not feeling it, but you feel it. You see what I mean? So that reinforces it. And that creates the separation. And not only that, it makes you draw more people to you like that, because you got to learn how to look beyond it. So it's in a sense you're calling them to you to give you endless opportunities to re-perceive. So if you're surrounded by people who bug you, you are really trying to get past it. And you're trying to give yourself endless opportunities to choose once again. You ought to be very proud of yourself. And send those people some thank you cards. You really made me mad today. Thank you. You got me in touch with some stuff within myself that I needed to take a look at, just like the lady at the restaurant did. It's like, okay, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling the temptation to attack? Well, that's because there's been times I promised people stuff and I didn't do it when I said I was going to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do nothing I hadn't done. She promised me something and she didn't do it when she said she was going to do it. I personally have never done that my entire life. And none of you either, have you? Of course you have. Of course you have. So what she did was she gave me an opportunity to forgive my own past and free myself. And I know, how do I know when I'm free? When I'm not getting upset at her. That's when I know I'm free. You know you're free when you don't lose your peace. That's how you know you're free. You know, it's like you're ready for the next relationship that's going to be a really peaceful, cool relationship for you when you feel peace about the one that you just left. You guarantee that you're over it. You're not bringing any baggage when you feel peace about the one that left. That's over. But if you're not, and you're looking for somebody to make up for what that person did, you know you're going to recreate it in the next relationship. You know you are. So if you're talking about the other person, how they beat you wrong, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, then I don't think you're overlooking the error yet. So then you're going to get another opportunity to be chosen once again, which simply means to take responsibility for your experience. You were not a victim of that person. You chose that relationship. You chose that relationship. You gave them your phone number or your email. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you need to make it even that basic. Did I create that reality? Yes. I was the one that formed that relationship. Okay? And you're innocent. You just wanted love. You just didn't know how to do it. You wanted love. You just a cute little crazy thing. You know, I'm just cute and crazy. You know, I've had a lot of cute and crazy women. You know, and I've been a cute and crazy man. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I've been behind a bush or two. You know the dragon by the house? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Unless you're too holy to admit it. So we all have done the same thing. We're all innocent. That's my point. Forgive yourself. Like Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Is that what he said up there on the cross? And then even Jesus said in the Bible, said, hey, you know, can you take this cup from me? He's like, well, can we negotiate this plan? You know, I mean, I'm getting the nails through my hand. Maybe I need to do this different. You know what I'm saying? So we all have crucified ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we've all appeared to be crucified by people that we thought we loved mm-hmm. and we thought cared about us. We've all had the crucifixion experience. We're all the same. So let's let it go. Let's forgive each other. We did the best we could based on the level of consciousness we were on, didn't we? Isn't that what you're doing right now? The best you can based on the level of consciousness you're on, right? Mm-hmm. So give you a break. I guarantee you, nobody's thinking about you as much as you. So if you give yourself a break, you've gone a long way toward having a happy life. Mm-hmm. Because I swear, there's not, probably not anybody thinking about you as much as you. It might be hard to take, but it's the truth. That's why you know nobody's interfering with your happiness, that you could be anything you want to be in the world, because nobody's plotting against you personally. And if it is, that's still just one person or two people. I don't really know. I don't know, not that many people that just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to screw you. Think about it. How many times have you done that in the morning? Got up and your first thing in the morning you thought about somebody you wanted to hurt. I bet you didn't. That's rare. That's really not normal. If we woke up tomorrow and we read 100 people got murdered, it would be like the biggest thing, wouldn't it? They'd like be going, oh my God, 100 people got... It's 2.8 million people in the general area. 100 people, that's not even 1% of the population. So that means 99% of the people in Denver are peaceful. Now, you just don't want your consciousness to be the one that attracted 1% psycho. That's why you want to study so the 1% psycho don't cause you. But overall, we are in an environment that's incredibly safe, even at a physical level. We really are. We really are. What happens in the world is exactly what the court says happens, which is that we get distorted perception through fear. He says, and then we enlarge the distorted perception. It's almost like looking at this on the microscope. It's like in terms of the whole room, it's very small. But if I put it on the microscope, it would be the only thing in my vision. But it's very, really very small. That's what's happening when you're thinking about the things in your life that don't work mm-hmm. and what you don't like. It's you taking this little candy and you're doing this. This is my job. There's nothing else in the room because I got this job, this blocking. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to get off of it. Then you realize, oh my God, it's a whole room full of cool people. Then I can eat the peppermint. So you got to eat your job.
You're good at math.
Am I?
Yeah, you figured out that percentage of people.
It's way less than 1%. Let's say 100 people. You know we're never going to wake up in the morning and just say 100 people got murdered. And they said, what, like 2 or 3? And then they chose it. It was time for them to go. They wanted to do it dramatically. You know, some of us will have very dramatic endings. You might have one playing for yourself. Personally, I just want to have a peaceful transition. But who knows? I might do it in flames. Who knows? Who knows? I just want to be on a level of consciousness that I don't care. Because I'm so in touch with my true identity as a child of God, and that I'm not a body, that I'm an invulnerable being, that I can do like the gurus in India, where they say, come around at 12 o'clock tomorrow, and I'm going to leave. And all their friends come and watch them, and they sit there, and they go, bloop. They should leave their body, and they just drop it. Right there. You know, we're just too attached to our physical form. Because we think it's us.
How do you know when you're in that incubation period? Because I've got some ideas I want to, you know, like that sickness of your defense against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to have that lesson. And so how do you know when you're incubating, when you're in the gestation period?
The way that you know when you're in the gestation period is because you're practicing the truth and it doesn't seem like it's working all the time.
Yeah.
You're seeing it more, but it's not working all the time yet. How do you know that's the gestation? Because you are aware enough to even know the difference. You're aware enough to even know it's supposed to be different. There are many brothers and sisters who have no idea that it could be different. So that's why they seem to be more peaceful. Because they don't have that dichotomy. They think the world sucks, and everybody's out to get me, and it's dog eat dogs, and they're sure about that, and they'll even bother themselves with the idea that it could be about caring about anybody else. So they're not in conflict, but they are in conflict, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then here we go. We used to be that way. Now we're trying to be more loving. So we're the ones that go through all the changes. Back and forth, back and forth. One minute I'm nice, one minute I'm a bastard. And then next minute I'm nice. Next minute I'm going off. Next minute I'm sweet. Next minute I'm crazy. Next minute, you're saying, well, you should be crazy all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So the fact that you're going back and forth like that actually is a good sign. It means you're moving off your old position and you're moving to your new position. So what this lesson is telling us is start learning how to look past your ego from the very beginning, by realizing it is your ego, and then not letting your perception stop at your ego, but let your perception go beyond your ego to the truth that's behind it. Like, for instance, I saw the Call for God cook lady, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I could have let my perception rest on the Call for God lady, but then I realized that was just a trick of my ego to get me upset, and so I breathed and I left. See what I'm saying? So that was me not resting on the error. Resting on the error would have been me saying something smart back to her, and then us having some kind of exchange, and then it getting worse. That would have been focusing on the error. Not focusing on the error was choosing for peace. Mm-hmm. And that's what forgiveness is. It's not focusing on the error, but going beyond it. All right? All right. This is acknowledge us for hearing this. It's 5 minutes to eight. Our environment. You know what I'm saying? So let's do the love offering, and then we'll do one little quick thing, and then we'll go back out into the lab. And you couldn't hear that music without the speaker, even though that music exists. So if we unplug the speaker, that's death. The music still exists. The speaker is gone. So if you fell in love with the speaker, then you forget that the music is what's real. And that's what we do. We fall in love with the speaker. And we try to make ourselves have the cutest speakers out there. You know, I want to. Don't worry. How many people have ever wanted you for your speaker? And how many of you get disappointed if they don't?
Yeah.
Okay. So you want people who see you beyond your speaker. You want the people who recognize you, the music. Then you can enjoy the speaker that it comes through, you know. So that's what I'm telling you. You're far beyond your bodies. Your bodies are great, but who you are is unbelievably unlimited, beautiful, juicy, lovable, spiritual being. And all you're doing now is learning how to overlook anything that keeps you from remembering that, because you are loving and lovable. You are loving and lovable. You are loving and lovable. You are loving and lovable.
am lovable. I am loving and lovable. I am loving and lovable. Would you say that for yourself? I am loving and lovable. 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 We are loving and lovable. We are loving and lovable. May the course be with you. See you next time. Awesome.
And may someone play with your speaker this week.